This is State of the Union, the District Council 37 radio show on 91.5 WNYE FM. I'm Chris Policano. DC 37 is New York City's largest public employee union with 125,000 members and nearly 50,000 retirees. We're part of the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, also known as AFSCME. We're on the air Sundays at 8 p.m. We rebroadcast on Wednesdays at 1:30 p.m. We're also available as a podcast on iTunes. Simply go to the podcast app on your smartphone and search for DC 37 State of the Union. And there are now more ways to stay in touch with the union. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Check out the website, www.dc37.net. And you can always, to keep up with events, please call the hotline at 212-815-7555. Any comments about the show, please drop us a line at stateoftheunion@dc37.net. The general elections are about a month away. And on this show, we're going to spend some time talking about what's at stake with DC 37's political action director, Jeremy John, who's been on this show many times before and is on the line with us now. Welcome back, sir.
How are you, Chris?
I'm a little confused. The last 2 weeks have been a monster on these Kavanaugh hearings and the politics behind these hearings. And it also speaks to what's at stake and why we need to show up in November, correct?
Yeah, correct. I think a lot of the result of the energy that you're seeing around the Kavanaugh confirmation hearings is a result of the activism that has spawned out of the 2016 election and the increased division that we have in this country along party lines. I think you have, you know, the activist base of both parties are moving further and further apart. And I think this race, this confirmation hearing, is a look into the mirror of the state of American politics today.
And I was thinking about Bill Clinton recently and about how the genius of Clinton at that time was he found a way to the middle. And he also realized that most folks were in the middle. And that's now got to be, what, 20, 25 years ago? And that doesn't seem to be the country we're in at this point.
No, I mean, I think you can look back to the Obama election, the year, the 2010 election,
the midterms,
after Obama got elected. That's when you started to see the increased division, because at that time, I think a lot of the policies and politics of this country were still towards the middle. But that election and the ascendance of the Tea Party, forced this, what we have today.
And let's be clear about what we have today, because, there's always questions about, like, union activity in politics. And we believe very firmly, obviously, that in a view of the world that says fairness should reign, and that when we talk about what's happening now, it's not just some of the outrageous behavior of the president himself, but the policies behind, there is an agenda that is really striking at the heart of middle class, working class, lower class families. And those policies need to be focused on, and people need to understand what's at stake.
Yeah, and I think the issue that we have is that you're absolutely right. It's the policies that this administration is implementing, the policies that is being supported by this Congress. You look at the tax cut plan that he passed with Congress this past year, or late last year, rather, and you're now seeing the ramifications of it. There's increased division in the wage earnings of folks that are falling completely off of the plan that was, sold to Americans. Like, those are the things that people didn't pay too close attention to. New York State is going to suffer because of some of the provisions that are in that law. Homeowners are going to suffer directly. Middle-class homeowners, working-class homeowners are going to suffer directly because they won't be able to claim these things on their taxes. These are the things that got completely lost with only a few voices airing them. And because of the division that we have, you know, people just went along party lines, and that's disheartening.
Well, here in New York State, let's talk about what's at stake in the general election. We just had the primaries about a month ago. Talk a little bit, if you would, about some of the races that are open, and also how we play a role.
So this is a key year for New York State, right? We have one Senate seat, one United States Senate seat that's open. That is up for election. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand has a general race. We have Andrew Cuomo has a general opponent. We have Controller Tom DiNapoli that has a general opponent. And we have Democratic primary winner Tish James has a opponent for the Attorney General race. So those are just the top of the ticket races where you're just going to see a flurry of activity. But the main focus this year is going to be on the state Senate, where if you have been, and you've had some of the senators on here before, where you have a slew of issues that, you know, around the IDC and then, you know, the Republican control and then the Democrats being a majority, I think this year is when a lot of that stuff will get decided and put to bed. And all of the state Senate seats, all 63 seats are up for election this year, as well as all 150 assembly seats. But the key races, the key focus this year will be the state Senate.
And we are trying to encourage, I know that traditionally much of the political activism is retirees get very much active because they have time, they have interest. But we're trying to expand beyond that, correct, in terms of making sure that all members can play a role in, it's not like we've ever discouraged anybody from playing a role, but we're really hoping that folks are, and I think in this age where everyone wants to weigh in right now, that it's a good time to get involved with the union in terms of being a volunteer.
Yeah, we have this program within the Political Action Department called the Volunteer Member Organizers. These are VMOs who go out and they engage our members. They engage them around union issues. They engage them around workplace issues, and then they engage them around political issues. We talk to the members, or the VMOs, volunteer member organizers, directly talk to members about the candidates that we endorse, the races that are important to this council, why we think it's important. And these aren't just, you know, your typical political canvassing conversation, right? Like, our VMOs actually have long 25-minute conversation with members who are experiencing the same thing that they're experiencing in the workplace. So there's a direct connection from member to member around issues that are important. It is more likely that a member will identify with another member in a green T-shirt coming and knocking on their door and is willing more so to engage in that conversation than anyone else, right? So we try to maximize that. And we have a ton of volunteer member organizers who are dedicating their time, particularly in the evenings and sometimes on the weekends, to go out and interact with with our membership. Because not only does that increase can potentially increase the activism, whether that activism is going to the voting booth or whether that activism is coming down to the union to volunteer, not only does it engender the member to get involved, but also strengthens our union because of the direct result that occurs from it.
Now, we're taping on a Thursday morning. The show airs on a Sunday evening. I'm trying to figure out the calendar because there is still time to register to vote, if I'm correct. Go ahead.
Yes, the deadline to register to vote is October 12th. So if you have not filled out a voter registration card, you can contact Political Actions Department at 212-815-1550, and we will get you a voter registration card. And we have VMOs. Our Political Action and Organizing Department has VMOs that are going out to the work sites. Contact your divisions or your division or your rep, and we will more than happy come out and get you a voter registration card and or do a voter registration drive in your workplace.
And if you want to volunteer, you can also call that number. That number again, Jeremy, is
212-815-1550.
Now, you've been doing this a while. When we talk about how divided the country is, in your opinion, how divided is the country? I mean, we've always had divisions in this country. I'm curious as to what you think has caused, either caused it or exacerbated it, or are we making too much of it and that people...
No, I alluded to it earlier. I think the rise of the Tea Party, where the policies were highlighted, quite honestly, around or along racial lines and class lines, help exacerbate something that we historically, as a nation, thought was long gone. I think the activism that you see today has grown directly from the feelings that were engendered following that rise of the Tea Party. And because of there's such stark differences in worldview, that's why I believe personally that's where we are today.
Well, listen, I think that there's no doubt, in my mind at any rate, that Barack Hussein Obama got elected president of the United States, something which, quite honestly, I wasn't sure was going to happen in my lifetime. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, triggered a lot of folks and kicked up some anger around that. That is ugly. And I think that there was some growing frustration going on any number of other issues that made certain people feel as if they had been ignored for too long, right? I mean, is that a fair analysis?
I think that's very fair. And the latter part where you said folks were ignored for too long, I think that's one of the things that President Trump focused on during his campaign, is trying to, and this goes back to the old Nixon ideology of the silent majority, right? And I think the playbook that, you know, President Trump used was a direct reflection of the playbook that President Nixon used. And he harped on many things, one of those things being the fact that people felt that they had lost their voice, that their voices weren't being heard. And then obviously there was some underlying racial tension to that, racial tones to that. And now we're seeing, and we're unfortunately reaping the rewards of a misplaced tension.
No, that's definitely here, and I think it gets exacerbated every day as everybody has a voice now on social media. I think social media is a terrific thing in terms of communication, but it also just it puts you smack in the middle of conversations that you thought had ended in a previous generation.
Absolutely.
Jeremy John is the political action director of DC 37. Again, to volunteer for the upcoming election, please call 212-815-1550. You can also please check out information about the Political Action Department on the website, www.dc37.net. Jeremy, thanks as always for joining us.
Chris, it's always a pleasure.
Talk to you again soon, bro.
Be well.
Bye-bye.
Were you a September 11th responder or volunteer? Were you present at the dust cloud on 9/11? Do you live, work, or go to school in the New York City disaster area on 9/11 or in the following months? Do you now suffer from problems such as chronic cough, shortness of breath, anxiety, depression, or have other symptoms? If so, you may be eligible for the World Trade Center Health Program and could receive medical monitoring and treatment at no out-of-pocket cost to you. To learn more about the program and get an application, go to www.cdc.gov/WTC or call 1-888-982-4748. If you were there, you deserve care. Call today. 1-888-982-4748. 1-888-982-4748. If you were there, you deserve care.
Welcome back. This is State of the Union, the DC 37 radio show on 91.5 WNYE FM. I'm Chris Policano. Over the summer, a highly trained forensic scientist in Local 3005 helped police catch a brutal killer suspected of at least 7 murders and other violent assaults in New York, Connecticut, and California. With us this evening is Christina Aligazakis. She is a criminalist three at the Office of the Chief Medical Examiner in Manhattan. As I say, a DC 37 member who is part of Local 3005, who works with DNA and helps solve crimes. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me, Chris.
I was fascinated by this article that was in the PEP, which listeners can access by going to the DC 37 website and clicking on the public employee press icon. You have been working with the Office of the Criminal Medical Examiner for some time.
Yes.
And let's talk a little bit about this particular case. What is it that you do?
I am a, like you mentioned, I'm a criminalist level three, so I examine biological evidence such as blood, semen, saliva, skin cells, to determine the source. And I write reports when necessary. I write reports and I testify when necessary.
And on this particular case, which is received a lot of publicity, I mean, this the suspect. I don't know how this case has been adjudicated or if it's been adjudicated. I assume this fellow has not yet come to trial. But he's accused of multiple attacks and murders. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And so how do you come into play when after the crime has been, the terrible crimes have been committed?
We get the evidence here at the laboratory. Both of them came in as sexual assault kits. So in a sexual assault kit, there are swabs, and then there's some fingernail scrapings, some hair, head hairs, but we mainly concentrate on the swabs.
And how is this how the entire day is spent looking at these kinds of specimens, and are these coming in on a regular basis? I'm just wondering what the day looks like for you.
I don't do too much of the evidence exam aspect anymore. I do a lot of writing, but I have spent in the earlier years, I did a lot of work on the sexual assault kits that came in, and they come in on a daily basis.
And this case was received a great deal of attention because the perpetrator was using dating apps like Tinder and Plenty of Fish to meet women he victimized. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And so the warning there is to be very careful about behavior on those websites or on those apps.
Yes.
The kind of cases that you do are all criminal cases. Are they often murder, or are we talking about other kinds of cases as well?
We work on all sexual assaults, homicides, weapons cases, property crimes, burglaries.
And, you know, this is one of those jobs that everyone thinks they're familiar with because they've seen it on TV all the time, right? And the police officer walks into the lab and the lab guy tells the police officer 30 million things about the crime or 30 million things that they can't tell about the crime because of the technology involved. I'm just wondering, as a person who's been doing this for some time, when you watch these shows, I have a friend who's a lawyer who can't watch legal shows because they drive him crazy because the info is always wrong, he says, on most of these shows, and the license that's taken on these shows drives him nuts. Are these shows accurate in your assessment when you watch them?
I'm going to have to agree with your friend. I cannot watch them.
You can't. And what are the most common things that are wrong about these shows?
Just walking in everyday clothes, getting answers in within an hour time span. I mean, I have to be fully gowned. I have to have my hair protected. I have to cover my face, wear gloves, wear a lab coat.
And the time it takes to get these results is much longer than the average person would think based on having watched a lifetime of TV cop shows.
Correct.
And we'll talk a little bit about that, about the process. How painstaking, how slow, how methodical is it? And is that what you like about the job?
I love my job. Some of the techniques involved take like an hour to set up and an hour to run on the instrument, or they take an hour to set up and 3 hours to run on the instrument. And since there's four basic parts to DNA testing, you could be upwards of at least 8 hours or more. So you're talking like a full day. That's not including examining the evidence.
And when people talk about DNA on, forgive me for going off on this tangent,
but
I'm fascinated by what the public thinks is capable and what someone like you who knows what is capable. When people talk about DNA matches and they talk about, there's a 99% chance of this or that, what does DNA, how definitive is DNA and what does it enable you to conclude about a particular crime and who committed it or whatever?
Well, we run a statistic, which is a number calculation, and that enables you to say if the person is included or in the profile or they're not in the profile. It gives you a number.
And you, so
to
you
help you understand.
So you can definitely eliminate someone if the DNA matches are wrong or what. I'm talking about this poorly, but you can say this person is not a suspect based on DNA.
Yes.
And again, going back to what kind of training did you receive to do the work that you do?
The training here at the Office of Chief Medical Examiner is pretty intense. It can be anywhere from 3 to 6 months. And that's at each level. So when you start out as a criminalist level one, you get about a 3 to 6 month training process. When you become a criminalist two, it's another 3 to 6 months. A criminalist level three is a little bit shorter. And then a criminalist level four is just as short.
And how did you get to become a criminalist?
Honestly, it kind of just fell in my lap. This is not what I wanted to originally do. But I'm so glad that the opportunity came to me.
And how did, talk a little bit about that, if you will. I'm always fascinated by folks and how they got to the work that they do. How did you come to this work?
A friend of mine called me up and said, I don't know what you plan on doing with your life, but I am going to go to school to do forensic science. And I said, oh, let me give that a shot.
Just like
so
that.
I went and talked to a couple of universities, and Pace University said, here, fill out an application. We could see you in September. And I went to forensic science, and she got a biochemistry degree.
And you've been doing that since when did you join the Office of the Medical Examiner?
Since November of 2006.
Now, your work is truly impacting the criminal justice system. It's exonerating people, or it's identifying people. It's in this case, you made the case that this was the person who's been committing these heinous crimes. How does that make you feel?
It makes me feel really good at the end of the day that I'm making a difference, even if it's a small difference, that I'm making a difference.
And that's what you wanted to do. At what point in this career of yours did that, when that first time that happened, what was that like?
Oh, it's so hard to explain. It was such a good feeling inside, knowing that I made a small difference in this big, gigantic world that we live in.
We're talking with Christina Aligazakis. Christina is a member of Local 3005. She is a criminalist with the Office of the Chief Medical Examiner in Manhattan. And in the latest issue of the Public Employee Press, which is available on the website, there is a story about Christina and how she helped make a case against the serial Tinder killer who has committed a number of brutal rapes and murders both in New York and in California and Connecticut. When these things happen, do you get to see this case all the way through? Will you be called upon to testify? How does that work?
I should be called upon to testify. In the beginning, because it was so highly publicized, there was interaction with the New York Police Department. But since then, things have died down, and I'm sure there'll be more interaction and phone calls as the case goes to trial.
It must be incredibly, well, it's A, exposure to the dark side of human nature, but B, you are bringing people to justice.
Yes.
Christina, I want to thank you for taking the time to chat with us. Again, the story is available online at www.dc37.net. Christina Aligazakis is a criminalist 3 at the Office of the Chief Medical Examiner in Manhattan. She is a member of Local 3005. She is a DC 37 member who never quits. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's all the time we have for you this evening. I want to thank our guests, DC 37 Political Action Director Jeremy John and criminalist Christina Aligazakis, who's a member of Local 3005, for joining us this evening. A couple of announcements before we go. Again, help the unions endorse candidates and get involved in political activity by volunteering to get out the vote on Election Day, Tuesday, November 6th. For more information, call 212-815-1550. The Education Fund is offering a 6-session test-taking strategies workshop on Thursdays or Fridays starting October 18th. For details, call 212-815-1700. And if you want to learn more about purchasing your first home or how to refinance, attend the Municipal Employees Housing Program's Housing Seminar on Thursday, October 25th at 5:30 p.m. at Union Headquarters. To pre-register, call 212-815-1814. Any comments you have about today or any of our shows, please drop us a line at stateoftheunion@dc37.net. The producer is Rudy Orozco. The engineer is Andrea Manocchio. I am Chris Policano. Before we go, DC37's Latino Heritage finale was recently held at Union Headquarters, and Executive Director Henry Garrido spoke about the aftermath of Hurricane Maria and its devastating impact on Puerto Rico. And we wanted to share those words with you now. Till next time, ciao.
Very recently, we celebrated 1-year anniversary of Hurricane Maria. And I, along with others in this union, went and participated in a roundtable calling to take action in the current situation of Puerto Rico, because a year later, after one of the worst hurricane disasters, we have a president who's still denying the number of deaths of people a year later. And a year later, after completely botching one of the most fundamental responsibilities of a president, which is to respond to a national disaster, not only is he denying and justifying the lack of action, but they are adding insult to injury, because the head of FEMA actually had the audacity to say that some of the reasons for the death of the people, it was as a result of domestic violence by men in the island of Puerto Rico. 3,000 lives documented, researched, and he wants to trivialize that as if somehow it is a defect of the men of the island of Puerto Rico. But you don't need to be Puerto Rican to be outraged at what's happening in the island of Puerto Rico. We are in support of legislation now that is calling for a 911 commission investigation of FEMA's response to Puerto Rico. And we want that to be done in this next congressional session. So we have put together a little plan, and we're going to be handing out, before you leave, contact sheet for your own individual congressperson so that you can call them and put pressure on them. We need relief for Puerto Rico. We need it now. We need it now. We need